AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Eric today. I went to the overlooked park today for our hike today, Eric. Theo Worth. You ever been hiking around there?
No, I have no idea where that is.
The Theo Worth Parkway. It's right off it's right off of 394. It's basically between 394 and Highway 55, heading up that direction, just to the east of Highway 100.
Okay, yeah, actually, I think I do know where that is. I've never been there though.
Oh, it's delightful. It's a really nice park. It's got quite a few different areas there. It is one of the most underrated cross country ski areas I've ever seen. That place is fantastic for cross country skiing. Not now, but there. The wildflower and butterfly garden, which was shut down, and I was hoping to see some wildflower action, right? But I did notice they have barbed wire on the fencing there. Those are some angry butterflies.
Is it to keep them out?
I'm gonna guess. I don't know why there's barbed wire. You want to know the truth? I would guess it's because of homeless people. You know, it's just as I've gone into some of the more urban parks, it's one of the things you see. You know, and I was up in the North Mississippi Park up there. I saw it in the Midtown Greenway. You see homelessness, and it's there. That would be my guess, is that you don't, you know, have someone trying to, you know, pitch a tent on top of the daffodils or something like that. That would be my guess. Because it doesn't make any sense to, even if, like, there were deer, you don't want the deer to come on in here. Barbed wire? Really? It's just, you know, deer pretty much, you know, it's not like it's, you know, the Great Escape and, Steve McQueen at the end of the thing into the fence, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just going to make a point there. 952-946-6205. Stein joins us in his regular time slot, which means no dancing on a Wednesday, which means Eric is a happy man. It is what it is. Two quick updates before I get into some other news here, because we only have a half hour before the Steiner gets in here. First of all, I've had a lot of people ask me my thoughts on the Biden editorial in the Strib today, where this person out of Iowa is basically saying that Biden needs to resign immediately. Now, extremism doesn't work on either side of this. I have said there are plenty of people, trust me, there are plenty of people who say Tara Reid should be completely, her allegation against Joe Biden should be completely ignored. She should shut up and she should just go away. No, she has the right to speak. All right. Now, we have the right to question her story. And if you've read her story at all, which you should have, and I've read this from a very, okay, what's the news out there? There are more holes in this thing than in Swiss cheese. It really is. And there is I'm not saying she can't talk, you can't talk, or she doesn't speak, or she doesn't have a right to voice. But personally, just by the amount of inconsistencies in her story, I don't believe her. I just don't. Now, that's my personal feeling. She still has the right to speak. And by all means, if she can clarify these massive gaps in her story, by all means, she should. But it doesn't go the other way. And this editorial basically says, Biden should leave now, which is you saying he's guilty without a trial and let's move on, which I know you're not saying that or you'll imply that. But I want to step back for a quick second. Let's just say, hypothetically, Joe Biden has done nothing wrong. Let's just say that he knows he has done nothing wrong. Do you think that he should then take the punishment of having committed a crime when he know he didn't commit the crime? Of course not. Of course he's not going to sit there and he's not going to pull back and say, "Well, I'll just fix this later." No. If he knows he didn't do anything wrong, why should he be subjected to the punishment of guilt without being found guilty? That's a legit question. So your argument that Biden needs to resign and withdraw, especially when it's followed up by Bernie would win easily, you know, come on. A lot of people, when it came to Al Franken, a lot of people wanted Al Franken gone because they wanted Tina Smith as the senator. And that is the truth. I'm not saying the allegations with him. I'm not dismissing those allegations. But there are a lot of people that wanted Tina Smith as the senator from the state and were willing to, you know, say so long and, you know, without a trial, without even a committee hearing on it, that Franken was guilty. He needs to go. Well, you know what? It's not if you got to give the person the ability to defend themselves. And in this case, it is a he said, she said. And the she said has a lot of holes in her story. So you sitting there and saying, well, Biden has to go. He has no say in the matter. He needs to leave right away. Well, that's just as ignorant as the people who are saying Tara Reid should shut up and say nothing. You can't have it. Extremism on either side doesn't work. And once again, in this whole argument about, well, I don't need to mention Trump. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You know, because it doesn't do you any good. What are you looking for? I mean, if Biden, who, you know, there is this legitimate chance he could have done nothing, you boot him out and put a guy who is the textbook example of sexual impropriety back in for another four years, another term in office. I mean, seriously. So that's not worth your read. I'm not going to repost it later. It's not worth your read because it's just a person who I personally, when I read that, I saw agenda. And that's the reality. That's the reality. I saw that person screaming, trying to wrap their agenda in wholesomeness and earnestness, but it still was an agenda. The other one is Sven Sundgaard, who has now finally spoken. Of course, we had mentioned last week the Chikara 11 weather guy who said something factual that the people at these rallies are racist Nazi gun kooks. Yeah, they are that. And he didn't say this. He was quoting a rabbi that said this. But have you seen the Nazi signs? Have you seen the racism? Have you seen the gun kooks? They're all there. That is a fair statement. Well, even though Kara Levin didn't say that was the reason, they said that they had standards that, you know, and he violated them. Here is Sven's response. He finally went up and wrote about it. Hello, everyone. I see you. I hear you. I love you all. Oh. I first want to thank those who have supported and followed me throughout my time at Kara Levin, and I'm especially grateful to those who have sent supportive and kind messages over the last several days since the station so publicly announced that it had parted ways with me and then published its alleged reasons for doing so. Your overwhelming support has been incredible. Thanks to those who have been sharing advice and information with me. Please keep all of this coming. It really does help me get through the days in this strange and difficult time. Many have asked me about Kara Levin's post regarding my unemployment, or excuse me, regarding my employment and separation from employment. Here's what I have to say about that for now. I disagree with and dispute my former employer's claims, and I'm considering my options at this time. Thank you again. Fight, 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 fight. Now, once again, this could be, you know, in the same sense, and we brought this up, the Keith Ellison divorce hearings. Far-right news outlet, basically, whose just job it is to throw gasoline and throw lit matches on gasoline piles, insists that, you know, Keith Ellison's hiding something in his divorce things. He's beaten so many women, all these things. That's what it's in there. And so they tricked Star Tribune into getting on board with that lawsuit. And they opened up this legal case only to find out that Keith Ellison was actually protecting his ex-wife, who had actually been the abuser in the relationship. And Star Tribune's like, oh, I guess that, oh, that was probably, we shouldn't have done that. Here, again, far-right news outlet gets Jason Lewis all fired up. I'm going to guess more than one or two of their advertisers who are far-right guys who, you know, I'm not for Nazis, but I don't think we should be mean to the Nazis. That sort of thing. And I can almost tell you, and you want to know the truth, is I would bet if you gave me five guesses of Kara Levin advertisers that might have made that call, that might have made that hypothetical call, I bet I could get it. I bet I could get one of them. I bet I could. I see where the money is getting donated. I see where the money is getting donated. Anywho, but would I be surprised by that? Not at all. Not in the least bit. Not in the least bit. And now all of a sudden, Kara Levin's going to be like, and ooh, goodness gracious, if Sven Sundgaard has any information about others others who basically have made statements towards, say, I don't know, liberals that are in the same capacity, and they haven't gotten fired, well, and I think that's going to be – there's going to be an interesting discussion that happens there, isn't there? And it might be a little bit of a court case or a off-the-record settlement. Just suggestion. 952-946-6205. Minnesota reported a single-day record of 30 deaths related to COVID-19 on Wednesday, including a worker in his 50s age range at the JBS plant in Worthington shut down amid substantial outbreak of the infectious disease. More than three-fourths of the newly reported deaths involved elderly residents in long-term care facilities, which have become an increasing focus of state COVID testing and response efforts. But one involved a person in the 70s age range who was the spouse of a worker at the Jennie-O Turking plant in Melrose. COVID-19 has spread statewide, with testing confirming a total of 8,579 infections so far and cases in all but five Minnesota counties. The state reported 728 of those cases on Wednesday alone. No cases have been confirmed yet on the Gunflint Trail or on the northwest angle regions of the state, but the state health officials have stressed that lab-confirmed tests are only a sampling of the COVID-19 outbreak that is widespread. After a technical glitch reported low testing numbers early this week, the Minnesota Department of Health on Wednesday reported another 5,223 tests by public and private labs. That meets one of the goals. Governor Walz had wanted the state to be testing at a rate of 5,000 patients per day at the start of this week. The state has inked a $36 million partnership with the University of Minnesota and Mayo Clinic to get the state to 20,000 diagnostic tests per day, which, among other things, would help in tracking the outbreak and spotting hotspots in individual communities later on. We knew this was going to come with the fact that we live in a state where we have, you know, great medicine. The Mayo Clinic, working with the University of Minnesota, they've developed the testing. We're doing a lot more increased testing. These why these numbers are skyrocketing. I would say this. I have been tracking the New York Times map that lists the total cases. There's at least five or six Republican states that clearly, I think, have not been reporting numbers. At least are reporting far more diminished numbers. Because I'll give a great example. Oklahoma is one of them. They were having outrageous numbers week to day to day to day to day. And then all of a sudden they just kind of stopped. And I'm like, okay, you go look. So what did they do? Nothing. They didn't do a damn thing. There wasn't any kind of enhanced stay-at-home order. There wasn't any kind of, you know, miracle drug or anything like that. No. Same problem they had before. All of a sudden they're not testing as many people and they don't have as many deaths. I have a feeling when this is all over, when, you know, sometime around Christmas or so, when Donald Trump is packing up his bags at the White House and he's getting out, that a lot of places are going to go, hey, you know, when we told you we had 8,000 cases of COVID-19, the real number was 24,000. And you remember when we told you we had 400 people die? Oh, the real number was 1,300 people. Sorry. Just wanted to collect that. There's just a mistake on the math. Our bad. There's going to be a lot of people doing that sort of thing. And I got something to ask Stein about this whole notion of the ability of these politicians that are opening the state to, when the inevitable happens and a lot of people start dying, how they're going to be like, hey, we got through this together. You know, how are they going to sell themselves come their next election cycle? I'm not exactly sure. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Todd Colad sponsoring AM950. You can sponsor the radio station. We have a membership and we have a sponsorship. Todd sponsors AM950. If you'd like to learn how you can sponsor the radio station, 952-946-8885. Todd, of course, is in Spain, likes listening to us, and unfortunately cannot go to our sponsors, but he does sponsor us there. He does want to remind everyone there's a great Pioneer Press article I will repost again later on today, which basically shows you great ways that you can help out during this COVID-19 crisis. So I'll repost that. Thanks very much, Todd. 952-946-8885 to find out how you can sponsor the station. I'll come back, talk a little membership action, a few other stories as well before we get into Stein. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM950.
Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at rudyluthertoyota.com.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here to say thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950 during this crisis. I also wanted to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart who's become a member of AM 950 over the last few weeks. It's so important to keep AM 950 on the air, maintaining a progressive radio voice in Minnesota for 2020. We feature the best in progressive talk and great local hosts like Brett Johnson, Robert Pilot, and myself. We started our membership program to make sure AM 950 got through this trying time, and you, the listener, have responded. Thank you so very much. You can become a member by simply heading over to am950radio.com and donating. The membership response has been so great. We're planning on launching some brand new members-only content, starting with some great new interviews. Tom Hartman will have a regular monthly members-only interview, and we'll have new member content updated weekly. Head over to am950radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM950. For everyone who is a member, thank you so very much for your support, and thanks for listening to the progressive voice of Minnesota, AM950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style. Look, we're all working from home right now, and chances are you've become aware of the importance of a decent office chair. Well, I'd like to offer you a means of helping a local business while making working from home a lot more pleasant. How about considering the X Chair? We can ship the X Chair directly to your home. Now, I wish I could have you into Habitation to try it out, but that's not an option. So I'm encouraging you to visit xchair.com to have a look. But once you do, please give Habitation a call to place your order. Doing so ensures that you're supporting a local business at a time that we really need your help. And I'll tell you what, when you place your order by phone with Habitation, we'll discount the chairs an extra 10% off the lowest price on the X Chair website. So do your back, neck, and butt a favor and take a look at X Chair at xchair.com. Then call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548.
Mark mentioning today, 55 years ago, the 65 tornadoes struck the western and northern metro area. The Minnesota History Museum's got an excellent exhibit over at their main museum right there next to the Capitol about that, which is really good. 13 people killed, 683 injured. That was a pretty big deal. So thanks for the heads up on that there. And maybe when things get better over at for the museums and they can open up again, maybe go check that out. That'd be maybe a pretty good idea. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I did want to make sure I mention, if I may, some big thank yous here to some of the people in that have become members here at AM 950. I do appreciate it. James in Inver Grove Heights, thank you much. Mark in South St. Paul, Charles in St. Paul, Joe in Minneapolis, Michael, M-I-C-H-E-E-L. It's either a misprint of Michael or it's Michelle. I could go with that. I'll go with Michelle, St. Paul. Lynn in Dassel, Carol in Minneapolis, Lynn in Plymouth. Or as I like to call it, Plymouth. Thank you. Thank you very much. You guys are helping keep Progressive Radio on in Minnesota here through the 2020 election cycle. We do appreciate that. And a reminder, we got brand new this week, new weekly content for members only that you can only get access to if you become a member of AM 950. A new interview plus a new best of interview that's available to you as a member. Go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com for more information on how you can become a member and listen to that great, cool stuff here. State Patrol Lieutenant Craig Isaacson had pulled over his share of speeders during 17 years as a trooper, but he never had a day like April 11th. In one shift, he pulled over five drivers in the West Metro for excessive speeding, including a motorist clocked at 122 miles per hour on Highway 169 near Lincoln Drive in Edina. That was the fastest car I ever recall tracking on radar or laser, Isaacson said. The first time I had that many in one shift, it was memorable due to the fact they were all in 60-mile-per-hour zones. From March 27th to April 13th, state troopers issued 78 tickets to drivers caught doing 100 miles an hour or faster. That compares with 22 during the same three-week period in 2019. 78 tickets versus 22. That's according to the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. More recently, troopers stopped a driver for doing 104 on Euclid. On Euclid Avenue? 120. Dear God, man, you're going to kill someone, and it might not be you. 104 miles an hour on Euclid. Next day, ticketed a driver clocking 122 on I-90 near Laverne. Fines are going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit are doubled. Those ticketed for traveling more than 100 miles per hour could lose their license for 6 months, according to DPS. My feeling is this, is I think that you need to make this an automatic. There is no reason for someone to be driving that fast. And I truly do feel as if, and we've talked about this with drunk driving, is that you can't have the 17th drunk DWI. You can't have that. You've got to have, you've got to have a case where there comes a point where, okay, enough's enough. You cannot jeopardize the public just because you want to play with kid gloves with the individual who could potentially hurt or kill someone else. I think that if you're going 100 miles an hour, I think the state could easily pass a bill right now that says, you know what, you lose your license automatically for 2 years, no exceptions, because even if you go, I was trying to get to the hospital. I've tried to go to the hospital. I've sped pat going to the hospital. I've never done 100 miles an hour. The problem I have with this too is that I'm going to guarantee most of the people who are driving this fast are probably fairly wealthy people with nice cars, and so henceforth are going to sick their lawyers on these tickets and not get their driver's license taken away. I'm sorry. I think that's why you have to have an automatic rule on this. That's why. A Carver County man's claim that he fired in self-defense when he fatally shot an unarmed driver following in a roadside argument in St. Paul may be difficult to clear of murder charges regardless of his permit to carry. Now, let me stop here. I have to be grateful that we're not in Georgia. We have talked here on the show numerous times that unless you're a black police officer, and we learned that in the Justine Devon case, if you're a white officer, and in the state of Minnesota, here's how the Republicans have written the law, that you can be off duty, drunk as a skunk in a bar, get into a fight with someone, look at them into their face, say, I'm going to give a you. Drive drunk home, get your gun, drive back to the bar, pull out your gun and shoot the guy. And all you have to do, if you're a police officer, is say, I was scared. And it becomes a justifiable kill. Even with all that evidence, it's a very likely chance that officer is going to walk away, not serve a day in prison. That is insanity. That is absolute insanity, especially when we're talking about the minuscule gun safety courses. And I'm sorry, they don't go through enough gun safety courses, considering the fact that they're all taking headshots. Heck, in the military, I learned not to take headshots unless you wanted to kill someone. Well, duh. We learned that. Ugh. And plus the fact that I don't think they're doing nearly as much mental health, exams as they need to do to allow people to have that kind of power. But it's nothing compared to in Georgia. In Georgia, private citizens who fought this is at least their story. They said an African-American looked a lot like the guy who'd been robbing houses. So this guy's out for a jog, African-American guy out for a jog. These guys basically pull over when he tries to run around their car. They threaten him with a gun. When he starts to struggle for the gun, they shoot him in the back. Once again, completely instigated, there is a very legitimate chance they will never see the inside of a jail in Georgia. Very legitimate chance.
And there's a video of this whole event.
It is. Not only is that video evidence there, that video evidence is really damning. Two district attorneys, two county attorneys refused to prosecute the case because they already knew that there was going to be no. So they're going to send it to a grand jury. The guy doesn't even have the guts to basically put out his own charges on this. He's going to send it to a grand jury and try to, hopefully if I don't put it in a big, strong enough case, the grand jury says it. And I can go, well, I didn't have to. What am I supposed to do? It's crazy. Now, that being said, thank God we don't live in Georgia. Carver County man's claims he fired in self-defense when he fatally shot an unarmed driver following a roadside argument in St. Paul may be difficult to clear him of murder charges regardless of his permit to carry. Anthony Trifoletti, 24 of Watertown, told police he feared for his life before opening fire on 39-year-old Douglas Lewis, striking him four times Friday night after Lewis struck Trifoletti's car and the two argued alongside the road up Burns Road off of Highway 61. Trifoletti alleged that Lewis appeared to be reaching towards his waistband as he advanced towards Trifoletti. Now, mind you, he did not have a gun. So there was unarmed. He shot an unarmed man. And it should be mentioned that the narrative of is contradicted by two bystanders' accounts, and criminal defense attorneys say isn't guaranteed to meet the state's high threshold for justification of deadly force. It's the latest controversial case to hinge on Minnesota's legal definition of self-defense, which requires individuals to take life only as a last resort. And I'm sorry, I just don't see I don't see this either. And he still has to explain what the heck he was doing if he lives in Watertown. On Saturday, on a Sunday afternoon, what were you doing way over in St. Paul on 61? I want to know why, because I don't want this to be like another case where the 4th Precinct, where a bunch of white guys from the suburbs, the exo-suburbs, I mean far-out rural suburbs, traveled into Minneapolis trying to be tough guys and ended up shooting people. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but I want to know what the heck he was doing over there in St. Paul. The sad part is that there was a story a few years ago of a guy down in Rochester. He basically just shot a 17-year-old in the chest, but because they can't get a universal conviction, because racists keep getting on the frickin' juries, the guy's going to get off free. They drop the charges. And I'm sorry. At that point, I think we need to open up. I mean, if you want a new law, you can sue up to $1 billion on a civil trial. Sue them up to $1 billion. Take every dime they've got. Take their house, take their car, take everything. And make sure they know for the rest of their life, especially a guy like 25 years old, so the rest of his life, you will basically be living on a fixed income because you decided one day to be tough guy with a gun. If that's the only justice you can get, well, then it's the justice we should give them. I guarantee it won't happen. The Republicans, the white Republican politicians are terrible. How dare you say that they have to take all their money? How dare you? Can already see that one. 952-946-6205. When we do return, Stein will join us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 66. Tonight, clear skies with a low around 41. Thursday, sunny with a high of 61 and a low around 34. Friday, sunny with a high of 48 and a low of 34. While Saturday, a chance of rain, the high of 59 and a low of 39. With the state having closed bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, featuring high quality and local foods, unique dishes, vegetarian options, and so much more. These restaurants are locally owned, so the money you spend stays local. Find all the restaurants offering takeout at eatlocalminnesota.com.
And matter of fact, do help out the local Minnesota.com restaurants. A lot of them offering curbside to-go orders. Please do help them out. Go to AM 950 Radio. Go to eatlocalminnesota.com. You can find out those great local restaurants. Eric, someone called up and mentioned that when I was talking about Trifoletti and his shooting this African-American man in St. Paul, what exactly did they say exactly?
They said they want to see you go to North Minneapolis at midnight, and you won't do that, so he wins.
Okay. Well, I was in North Minneapolis today. As a matter of fact, remember I told you I was at Theo Worth Parkway?
Mm-hmm.
I told the kids I used to I went Penn Avenue, I went to Broadway and Penn, and then took Broadway back over to 94 in my minivan with four kids. Have I been shot?
Doesn't look like it.
No, okay. Now, I don't go out into Hopkins at midnight because I'm asleep. I'm not exactly a nighttime walker. I don't go when I go for my nature hikes. They're generally during the day. If I had to go anywhere in the middle of the night, I'd probably go to the hospital, which would be Park Nicollet or Methodist, or at Worth Fairview Southdale.
I used to live off DuPont in North Minneapolis, and I have not been shot before.
Have you not?
No, not yet.
The landlord should let you know when you got to buy those houses, you're going to get shot now. Come on. You know, it's better than that. Jeff Stein's kind enough to join us. Jeff is our national and presidential expert and noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books. Also, totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Reports, his weekly business roundup in Iowa. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report is something he does for KXEL, and he's kind enough to join us today. Jeff, are you doing a lot of midnight walking around town?
That's actually the title of my autobiography. I was walking around midnight and got shot.
Oh, I can tell you right now, if I was walking around midnight in Edina, the wealthiest community in this entire city, you'd probably get shot. I mean, I'm going to let you know. It just is the way it is.
One thing logically leads to another.
Pandemics, Australian fires, murder hornets. Shootings at midnight. I really do. Anyway, so just FYI, I was in North Minneapolis today, and I have not been shot. Something that seems to happen to a lot of people that go into Minneapolis, especially in the northern side, on any given basis. Sorry, paranoid freaks. So I want to ask you something, Jeff.
You're not sorry, but go
no,
ahead.
No, I'm not sorry. You've seen through my ruse. Okay.
Call in.
So I want to read you this. This is do you follow Blue Stem Prairie, the news, the Western Minnesota online news?
No, I do not.
It's good. Worthwhile. You should. Okay. Sally Joe over there posted a story. The Marshalltown turkey processing plant confirmed Tuesday that one of their employees had tested positive for COVID-19. While the Turkey Valley Farms plant is still operating, Turkey Valley Farms spokespeople said the plant will be doing additional screenings of coworkers before they enter the facility, as well as keeping in advanced safety measures that have been put into place over the last couple of months, which was interesting. This, the reason why the story caught my eye is, okay, this is a meat processing plant, turkey processing in this case, that's only had one case. Okay, this is interesting. And it's a producer-owned processing plant. That, you know, has, you know, from the get-go was very proactive and seems to have been able to at least stem the tide up to this point of any kind of major outbreak, which they should be commended for, I think, in Marshall. That sure. Being said, it does bring up the point. If we do have meat processing plants which are not having horrific pandemic outbreaks, do you think at some point in the future we might start looking at potential crimes against the people that did run these plants that clearly did not take safety, health and safety seriously and jeopardize their own employees?
Oh, you've got the possibility of criminal actions. Mm-hmm. You've got the possibility of civil actions. Can I read you a few numbers here just to show you that at some point companies have to have some level of culpability. So, for example, we've talked before about Tyson Foods.
Yes.
Let me give you some numbers of three pork processing plants in my state of Iowa. Columbus Junction was the first to close. They had 221 infections out of 900 employees. My public school math says that's about 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tyson plant in Waterloo, 444 workers positive out of about 3,000. That's a pretty healthy percentage. Perry in central Iowa. You know where Perry is.
Yeah.
730 workers confirmed to have the virus, 58% of those tested. Mm-hmm. 58%.
Wow.
How can you say, well, gosh, I had no idea. The sheriff here, I had him on my program today, and he described not just his anger, but to some degree his fear when he walked through the plant here and saw that OSHA requirements were being ignored, CDC guidelines were being ignored, and 3 days later, it just mushroomed, because not only were there 400 workers at the plant, some of those people have roommates or spouses who work elsewhere, and that is the textbook definition of community spread. Now, they're going to open that plant tomorrow. He toured it again. He said they must have been working day and night to weld the things that they had to for the barriers and this and that and something else. Okay, if you're the company, you'll wind up maybe doing the right thing ultimately. So you had to spend that money. Why not do it on the front end and never have the plant shut down? Never subject yourself to a worker shortage. For 5 seconds, think about the humans that you have working for them. You don't have a sick workforce. But here's, and again, this is my rant against the company, as I've done it for multiple weeks, but here's the little jewel that I learned today on the radio. There had been rumors that when the plant in Columbus Junction, Iowa had closed, that Tyson bussed workers to Waterloo, which then spread the infection here. The sheriff said he had been told this, because he went to clinics in this area. There were people who were being treated who gave their addresses Columbus Junction. They were asked, what are you doing here? Oh, I work at Tyson. Well, that sounds like A plus B equals C. So he confronted the company and said, are you bussing workers in? And they looked at him and in essence almost said, gambling? What do you mean gambling? This is a piano house. You know, this kind of thing. They said, no, we did not ever bring any workers in. And he said, okay, all right, you know, okay, you're pretty forceful about it. Come to find out that's technically true, but he phrased what I'm about to tell you as disingenuous, and as a lawyer, I'll tell you it's worse than disingenuous. Tyson contracted with another company. There are some commonalities of ownership. This was a cleaning company. When Columbus Junction closed, the, quote, cleaning company bussed on up to Waterloo to, quote, clean up here. Now, should the company have said, now let's say Sheriff Matt McNeil asks me as the Tyson good guy rep, you know, did you bring workers up? The answer should have been, any humane person would have said, no, we did not bus any Tyson workers here. You should be aware, however,
yes,
that one of our little friendly companies here that we probably control on the side, we did bring these people up. And here's the 20 people, and here are their names, and let's test them out. Something, but no, instead it was righteous indignation. How dare you suggest we would do such a thing? I mean, this is, you know, what we're dealing with. Okay, and so when you know that going in, I just wonder how they can be absolved of responsibility. Obviously moral responsibility, but what about legal responsibility? Where's the incentive for the company and Marshall to do the right thing when these other guys get off scot-free?
It wasn't the People's Front of Judea. It was the Judea's People Front. Come on. Get the difference. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm wrong. It's entirely my mistake.
It wasn't Tyson's Food. It was Tyson's Food's cleaning company. Completely different organization. Yes, exactly.
It was Tyson Food A, yeah. Not Tyson Food B. What's the matter with you?
There's a silent J on there. So, okay. So, but, I mean, are we looking at something similar to – I don't think anything's going to happen under Trump. But, you know, say that the next election goes the side of the Democrats. Are we looking at something like Triangle Shirtwaist Company, 1900s, the fire code stuff, where they prosecuted those people And everyone else was given a pass. I mean, everyone else who was doing the same exact thing was given a pass. They found one sacrificial court case, threw that guy in jail, and from that point forward, it will change. Do you feel as if that might be eventually what the outcome is going to be in something like this?
Doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter which party is running any of it. And the reason I say that is because these companies have us over a barrel. If you want food, this is the system we have set up. Now, if you want a system whereby these producers have a different way to send their animals to slaughter, either through encouraging regional and local lockers as opposed to these ginormous companies, okay, if you want to get to that kind of a system, it's going to be a painful transition. It may cost you more at the grocery store, but it may well be worth it, so that we are not beholden to certain companies that have Chinese ownership or have, quote, varied international ownership. That gives me a great feeling of security. So I think the problem is, I don't like the phrase too big to fail, but the companies act like, what are you going to do? Because we'll shut down your darn food supply. And then how are you going to feel? We're going to force you to take hogs ready for market and kill them. How's that feel? And because that's what's happening. That's how they were able to get away with it to begin with. And I, you know, this is not like some, Netflix drama series where the good guy, you know, stands up against the big company and wins in the end. No small town sheriff is going to be able to prosecute these people, so to speak. I just don't feel it's going to happen. Now, am I too pessimistic? Gee, that'd be the first time anybody suggested that. But I just don't feel it.
If you needed another reason why becoming a vegetarian might be a way to go, it will really make these companies mad. And so I guess maybe that's it. I mean, seriously, if you drive enough people away from meat, then all of a sudden they're, hey, wait a minute here. Maybe we'll clean up our product and clean up our other ways. But until then, we'll have to figure out that on another day. The Lincoln Project. This is a group of conservative Republicans that are never Trumpers. They basically feel as if he's the death of the Reagan Republicans. And so they have bound together. You saw the ad they released. That was a damn – that was a brutal ad. That was really – as someone said, it's like that would – like a liberal group made that ad. That ad hit hard, and Trump did not like it.
Well, he's being criticized. Of course he doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. Have you found someone – I mean, even his staunchest allies concede that there's probably not someone with a thinner skin out there, right? I mean –
he does occasionally like a good spanking, though. Let's just
– how is that helpful to this conversation?
I don't know. But, I mean, he is a – you know, in some arenas, he does like discipline. So I guess we can go from there or magazines. I don't know how you want to go with that. But needless to say, right. You're
nowhere.
Right.
I don't want to go anywhere with that.
All right. You're right, though. He is not exactly Johnny acceptance of criticism.
Yes, Johnny. He's not Johnny. But there, what you're finding, and it's not – I mean, the Lincoln Project is the most vocal. They are the most well-known. You've got George Conway involved, et cetera, et cetera. I'm getting posts on Twitter now from groups who are aligned with Republicans. I mean, it's pretty clear that these are folks who are Republicans who are – encouraging Republican office holders to keep their distance and publishing things like the poll shows that current office holder is barely ahead of Democrat challenger. And so this just shows that, you know, Trump, anything he touches turns to crap. And so therefore you should run as far as you can. I mean, there is this movement that is really gaining some traction. Now, whether these elected officials are going to pay any attention or not, because they're going to be blacklisted for life, right, out of this administration if there's a second term. But, so there is dissatisfaction, because I think the fear is, I mean, you hear Republicans say if Biden is the nominee, and unless we get to some sort of, you know, science fiction novel, that's what's going to happen. He's going to be the nominee. That he's going to take the whole party down with him. Well, there are these Republicans who say, you know, if Trump keeps suggesting that people drink Lysol for their physical health, he's going to take the whole party down. It's bad enough that they lost the House in the midterm. That's not a surprise given how those things go. But you've got Republicans saying, could we at least hold on to the Senate? Pretty please. You know, and so you're seeing some of this, and they know how to get under Johnny, whatever phrase you used, Johnny Thinskins, get on his nerves, right? Mm-hmm. By just mentioning anything. So if you're going to do it, though, you might as well go all out.
Oh, well, they did. And that's a heck of an ad. You can't deny that. And yeah. it does point out, I mean, he does have so many things right now that are liabilities. I mean, even Fox News, Fox and Friends and Hannity are saying, you know, armed protesters at these rallies is not a good idea. You're jeopardizing police officers, and that's not a really good idea. And so you have all these things. I could see if these numbers, I mean, once again, he is really doing bad with suburban women. And unless he can turn that around, there's no chance. He's got no chance at this point. I mean, he really is looking, you know, it's going to be a very rough reelection campaign for him. But that being said, I agree with you to a point. I think the money people are going to be the ones that make the final decision. They'll eventually just abandon him and throw everything they can at the Senate and try to hold that, or at least keep it between a 1-2 vote, you know, majority for the Democrats. And that's that. But when conservatives can write an ad that the Democrats couldn't even produce an ad that good. And you know, it just is when you got that, he is so weak on so many levels, it's going to be next to him. It will, you thought the math in 2016 was wild. It will take, you know, I don't know if there's math in created right now that could get him into 2020 if the numbers stay where they're at right now.
It's just, okay, if the numbers stay where they are right now.
Yes.
But that gets us to the snotty point I would make, which is this is May 6th, not November, whatever it is, 3rd.
Yes.
So because truly, 10 weeks ago, we weren't looking at a global pandemic affecting us here in this way, right? So who knows what the next 10 weeks are going to hold? And I don't mean to be disingenuous by saying that. But the bottom line is we have learned, if nothing else over the past 20 years, nothing anybody does or says before Labor Day is going to be dispositive, because we have seen such wild swings in terms of voter preference, and it goes before that too. But this is going to be really interesting, and as we've discussed before, if the average voter who has significant shortages at the grocery store has had a summer that is just completely lost and has income that is lost, if they believe that the current president could have made their lives better, they're going to turn on him in a heartbeat. And by the way, that didn't matter if it was Trump or anybody. I mean, that's how we tend to vote.
Yeah.
If his old voters don't hold this against him, then that's his path. He's got to hold on to what got him there in 2016 and look for a few places he might flip in case there is erosion.
Well, let's tell you what. We got to take a break right now. I want to come back. I want to touch on one other thing here in regards to COVID-19, namely Jared Kushner and the problems he's going to be having here before too long. Jeff Stein is joining us, 952-946-6205. Reminder, Pilots Progressive Party coming up today. One of my favorite people, Representative Mary Kunesh-Podein, is going to be joining them. Make sure you join us. That's at 5 o'clock after Democracy Now. We'll take a break. Back with more with Jeff in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find that perfect book. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Snap Construction wants to say thank you to all of the brave healthcare workers, first responders, police officers, and firefighters for putting themselves ahead of others every day. Your bravery is heroic, and to all of our fellow Americans, best wishes and health to you and your families from Snap Construction.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name, and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. I'm here with Ryan, owner of the locally owned Snap Construction and arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor in the metro. Ryan had to call in for this ad because he's practicing social distancing. So what is Snap Construction doing right now to provide a safe working environment?
Thanks for the introduction, Chad. I am at home practicing social distancing, watching the little man, and trying to get a little work done here at home. Once again, thank you to all the AM 950 listeners who have worked with us in the past. Your support has been tremendous. Chad, the safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction is the absolute first priority. Right now, we are offering a free no-contact estimate for roofing, siding, or window replacement. Through video chat, email, text, we'll deliver your bid to you without face-to-face contact. Lock in your historically low labor and material rates now and build later. No obligation. You can cancel any future work with no cost or penalty.
For a free no-contact estimate, call 612-333-SNAP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Just one quick side note, Jeff. I just want to make sure you mention this or are aware of this. Ilhan Omar, clearly she's getting challenged in the Democratic side in a primary. And something tells me numbers must not be – I don't think she's in jeopardy. But all of a sudden now, because I'm in her district, I'm getting a lot of – Ilhan's there for the Minnesota 5. It's no longer – you know, the narrative on her has changed dramatically to now I'm a Minnesota 5 candidate and not this kind of national figure.
Well, all politics is local.
Yes, it is.
People who have had high national profiles – well, I mean, Tom Daschle. Okay, yeah. Go back to that. I mean, how many of them wind up getting brought up short at home? And so, obviously, she wants to make sure that doesn't happen, which you can understand.
Jared Kushner, there's a whistleblower complaint that basically says that when it came to the medical supplies and revolved around this pandemic, that he basically brought in his buddies, no one that had medical experience, and then everything was about making sure companies that were friendly to the Trump administration or friends of Jared's basically got rewarded, and it in turn led to massive problems with our healthcare supply network. This complaint is very ugly. I don't know if you've seen the complaint, and I'm going to guarantee at some point this is going to be brought up to Congress.
I just would ask the audience, show of hands here, Matt can see,
yes.
Show of hands, how many of you would hire your son-in-law in the family business to do anything of importance?
Ah!
How many of you would hire your son-in-law to mow your yard?
Nope, not going to happen.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I understand that the Trump dynasty there at Trump Tower was built with the president, and then he brought his children in as his trusted advisors. Okay, I get that. And so he wanted to have his daughter there at the White House because she appears to kind of keep him a little more on the road as opposed to in the ditch. At least that was the early run.
Yes.
You got to bring the son-in-law along. Can you find a job for my husband? I mean, I don't know. First, he was the Mideast peace expert, as you recall, and that's worked out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was Mideast peace. He was going to solve all the problems. The reality is, though, and this is one thing I know about Trump, I do believe he'll throw Jared under the bus if he has to.
Well, sure, because he'll throw anybody under the bus if he has to.
Is there, Ivanka, would he throw Ivanka?
He'd blame Jared for her, his bad influence on her. It's Jared's fault. That's what he's doing. He's trying to drive a wedge between his daughter and her husband, and he's doing it on the public stage. Now you've uncovered it.
I am not going to say another word. I will post the Iowa politics report a little bit later on. Find Jeff's books over at Next Chapter Books. We'll check in with Jeff next week. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
See you later.
Take care. We are back tomorrow. I promise more dancing then. Till then, see ya.